Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all.
Yeah.
And find me here, Lord, as you draw me near, I'm desperate.
Overseer Paulette, I pray that you guys can hear me well this morning. And we just want to worship God for his mercy and his greatness. He has done great things for us, and we need to reflect on it. Have Holy Spirit bring to our minds and our remembrances the things that God has done. As we got into this lesson today, I was reminded of all the spiritual preparation God has made available to us in Labors for Christ, and how we're able to build upon that scripture base and foundation and that knowledge. He has in so many ways illustrated his plan and his purpose. He has so illustrated the strategies of our victory, and he has given us opportunity year after year after year to come up hither and learn of him. And so I was so excited when we were, it mentioned it last week, as we looked through Keith Miller's Sevenfold Spirit of God, the fact that he talked about whales, W-E-L-L, and the fact that that was part of the wonder. But then as I got into this week's study of it, it just built up so much of an excitement in me, because it was like, how long ago has God been preparing us for today? And so how today he is preparing us for what is to come. And which is why he says, don't, you know, you've never been this way before. Every dimension that he exposes us to, his mysteries and the treasures of heaven, they're new to us, and we must have a renewed mind in order to embrace them, in order to get the fullness and the abundance of the value of what they have in our spiritual life, in developing our spirit so that we can understand and we can embrace the strategies of God that will free us, truly free us from the influences of the world and of those things that have been so common to us and so ordinary and so everyday, matter of fact, routine. And he rises us above that because there is more. There is more. And as we have been fed, and that that understanding or that, that anticipation of more has been growing in our spirit. And so we're always searching, we're always seeking, we're always listening, we're always making ourselves available to that which God wants to teach us. And so I just am so excited about Words for the Word and the ministries of the church, and not just labors, but for all ministries. Even the author of this book, when he wrote this book, he was writing under the influence of Holy Spirit because he knew we needed to see this stuff today. The fact that this book and this particular chapter is in line with what God is showing to us today in labors. That same direction and power and that excitement that's being released to the author when he wrote this book is being released to us. The spirit of Elijah, that the spirit of Samuel, the spirit of declaring and decreeing. And as I was reflecting, I believe the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance the fact that, you know, a lot of people really don't believe in prophets. And they look to prophets for this prophetic word that will tell them what's next. You know, you're going to get a car, you're going to get a house, you're going to get a husband. Look for this, look for that, look for the other. But there's some things that a prophet shares from heaven. I remember the teaching from Prophet Mike this year about Nebi, and that's that bubbling forth. And just so much just started falling into place as it relates to this whale, this seven whales of Jacob. And then just the fact that this bubbling forth, this Nebi, is coming from a prophetic word that has been released from heaven regarding the people. And so I remember that prophet started some years ago, maybe 2 years ago, with the M's, you know. So we always say, oh, you know, that's really cute. That maturation, miracles, manifestation, and momentum.
Momentum.
And then he added mantle. Well, then the book shares the fact that a whale is like a new mantle. And that was that seventh whale that Jacob dug. But going back, I didn't want to get ahead of myself, but just realizing how all this stuff is, this is the strategy of God revealing heaven's treasures to us through the prophet and then through the apostle who establishes this in teaching and in setting a foundation and an environment where this is honored, it is looked for, it's anticipated, it is taught, and it is always being brought before the people. And we'll realize at some point when we say something enough, you know, it'll start becoming a part of us. And so it became a part of, at a time that when something was said or in a service or a teaching, we go, oh, yeah, that's miracles, manifestation, maturation, and momentum. And I hope that fourth one was momentum because last I couldn't think of the four. I could think of three. And with the mantle, but I couldn't think of the fourth. And I said, Holy Spirit, what is it? He said, momentum. And I got so excited because I realized he was talking to me. You know, we honor the Holy Spirit. You know, we understand. But there becomes a moment when his presence just is so manifest. It's just like sitting here talking to you guys on the phone. And he's real, and he's there, and he wants to have conversation with us because he wants to reveal those things, and he said he would. Part of his promise, he will bring to your remembrance that which the Lord has said. And he did. And so just his manifesting himself in our life present, in our spiritual growth and development, just becomes such a powerfully humbling and yet bringing a boldness and a confidence and yet bringing a reverence and a godly fear. And then I'm realizing all of these things are the things that are supposed to be developed in a child of God. And as this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So naturally, you know, overseer just going off all crazy, not crazy, but just in what do they call that? Undignified. That's it. Undignified praise and worship because it is such a blessing. It is such a powerful connection. It's like a Jacob's ladder from earth to heaven, and it's from, you know, from Paul, you know, you say earth to heaven, but Paulette to heaven, you know, calling, and it's there. The connection is there, and he's saying, come on up hither. He's saying, come up hither, Deborah. Come on up hither, you know, Narvella. Come on up hither, Pat. Come on up hither, Casey. Come on. Come on. And all of you that have joined us on the line, and even those that haven't, he's still saying, come on up hither. Come on up hither. And so we thank God. We thank God for such an invitation. And then when we get there, the table is set. The table is set. And that's this setting of this table in the seventh chapter of, come on, Roberta, come on up here. Come on, come on, come on, come on up here. All of it. And, you know, we do, because, you know, I read it. And we kind of get weary. He don't want us to have that weariness. He wants us to have this powerful joy because we see this connection happening. We see this connection manifesting itself. And when we were taught in the classes of in ordination, you know, that the nature of the Holy Spirit is the God of manifestation. The God of, he wants to make us see what God is saying and make us see the power of God moving and being made known in the earth realm through us. And so how does this happen? We starting with the seventh chapter where we're looking at the whales of the seven. And so I looked up, I thought, okay, whales, what are whales? And we had, you know, like I say, did that study on them. But we need to understand that in biblical days, the whale was actually the center of life because it was a very desert and dry place, the biblical settings. And in these settings, in the places where the children of Israel were, and in Egypt and in Palestine and Jerusalem, and some of you have been there, and so you know just the whole nature of the climate is a very dry and one that doesn't have much fluid and liquid in it. Well, these wells were the only way in biblical days that even a city could be born. They were born around a source of water. They were born around a well. So when you think of Abraham traveling, and remember his family grew and grew and grew till there were millions of them, wherever they went, they had to have water. Now, when they were going through the wilderness, there was a rock, and he brought water out of the rock to give life and life this to give water to the children of Israel. You can't go long in a desert traveling without water. And they complained about that. You know, he complained about the food and the water, and he got water out of a rock. And this rock was always there to provide the source of life that they needed. And so this was true as Abraham was traveling, and when he would go through different countries and different nations and countries. We think of countries as, like, you know, Australia. But they were more smaller-type countries. When you look at the map and look at the countries that he traveled through, well, each one of them had, obviously, a leader, a king or something that governed them, and an army. And their source of life were their whales. Now, when you look at a picture of the whales, that you can look in the Bible online, and you can see these wells. These wells were dug very, very deep. They had to go down to wherever the water supply was in the earth. They had to dig them until they came upon water. Well, once they dug them, or as they were digging them, and they didn't have big equipment like we have now, or even fancy shovels like we have now, but they had to dig, and as they dig, they had to brick up the sides of the walls. They had to, in some way, keep the sides up so that they could continue to dig down without the earth falling in on us. So they had to be engineers. They may not have gone to engineer school and got a degree, but they had to have someone there with the wisdom to be able to accomplish this. And so as Abraham was traveling, and his people would dig wells so that they would have a source of life. And as he went, he dug wells in other people's land with their consent. And so as the history goes for Jacob, and remember this, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So as the generations continue, these wells were named, and they belonged to the person that dug them because of the difficulty in getting to this source of water. This source of water was how they fed their people, their cattle, their sheep. They had to get the water up and then put it in containers, the trough, in places where their animals could come and drink. And their women would go and get the water. We've seen so many of them with the urns and things on their shoulders or on their head. And this had to be gotten out of and then carried to where it needs to go. We looked into when we were looking in the 23rd Psalm, that was one of the responsibilities of the shepherd. He went into a well and got the water out to bring it to the flock and the herd that he was shepherding. And so we see all of these illustrated symbols of what our roles are and what they should look like. And we also get to understand the difficulties. It wasn't an easy thing. And we have gotten so used to, in this world and in this season, this life, society, excuse me, of things being easy and instant. But these things were laborious. But they, and I love it because God named this ministry laborers, okay? And not with the you know, all of these things are prophetic. They have a meaning, and they are to build in us an understanding of who we are and what we're called to do, and how we are to do it. So it's not going to be an easy thing. It's going to be very tedious sometimes, but there's a joy because as they dug these wells, they were excited about reaching water, because once they reached water, then you could start prospering. Then you start growing and developing, and you start getting the riches of the things around you, the stuff out of the soil, because now you can water it and you can grow your things. So this was a well. Around the well was also a place of gathering where they gathered. Remember when they come in the heat of the evening, they would, or the early morning before the sun rose, the women would gather there. And so it was a place of communication, and it was a place of socialization, okay, because they didn't all just did live right next door to each other, but they could gather at the well. And maybe the wells were often in the center of the town that was built around this source of water. So we want to understand the source of water being the well. And so then it becomes exciting why this was so important to Jacob. And Jacob was the third generation. So the well that had been dug before Jacob, I was still under Abraham's heritage. They were still part of his heritage. Well, some of the enemies of God that would be angry and became angry with Jacob decided, and even with Abraham and some of them, they fought over the well. Just different, you know, the history of the well is very, very interesting in the Old Testament. But they started putting dirt in the well and making it muddy so that Jacob could not thrive, so that his people didn't have the water they needed to live. So Jacob had three or four, I think he said five really, and it's interesting, a study, five different encounters as it related to the wells. But what it was showing was Jacob's character, his attention and his attitude, his relational skills with the people around him. whether they were their his enemies or not. And when we prosper, and Jacob did, because he had these wells, well, it made his enemies jealous. And because of this jealousy, they started to persecute him, if you will, but in the subtle ways, not just, you know, these are ways that we may not understand, but let's put it this way, sugar in the gas tank so they can't get around, okay? Well, they put this dirty mud, and they kept filling up the wells with debris and things so that they couldn't have water, so then they would have to move on, or they could stand and fight. But Jacob, in the first verse, we're looking at just Jacob and the well, he just moved on. There was no reason that the Palestinians should have been angry, but they became jealous. And so they didn't want that. Jacob was growing, his people were getting blessed, and they could see that God was blessing them. Just like people can see when God is blessing you, and for some people, it's going to make them jealous. And so in this jealousy, they're going to try to attack you. They're going to try to attack your source of strength that they believe to be. And for him, it was the well. And so often that's what the enemy does through attacking the church and the place that you should have your support, but you leave there because of the persecution. And that's how the enemy separates you from your place of prosperity. But that's a whole nother lesson. But we just want to understand the power of these wells and the fact that this happened many times. In the first well, you know, because of jealousy, he had to move on. And then the second well, there was argument, it was strife, because they hated him, and hate brings strife and contention, and he wasn't going to deal with it. So he humbly, if you will, turned the other cheek. He moved on to the next one. And then when he got to the next one, he dug another one. And remember, these weren't easy to do. And then there was a confusion, and, you know, they accused him, this isn't yours, you shouldn't have did it, did that. He wasn't going to argue with that. And that was the third level of just a relational problem that we have, okay, as we go forth. And that, to me, was that maturation, manifestation. Those are the different things, stages that he had to go through till he got to the fifth well of restoration. We're in the period of restoration. And so this is what our lesson is leading us to, just kind of a summary of the history of the wells in a real, real brief, probably sloppy summary, but just a little insight into the value and the use and the significance of wells. And so the author says that he opened seven wells, and it illustrated the opening of the seven rivers of the Holy Spirit. So remember, as he developed and matured, as he went forth, his attitude and his countenance and his character started to develop and become stronger, maturing. This was his maturation as he had movement and momentum, because he was on the move, constantly on the move, constantly growing, going towards his promise, towards his promise. He was on the move toward his promise. And so as he went forth, he opened these wells. He addressed his source of living. He embraced it however he needed to. And because he was victorious, it opened up the seven rivers of the Holy Spirit. So we know that the seven rivers of the Holy Spirit, they talked about in chapter 6, and how this flow is an unending source of power that will come in the fullness of our destination as a church. And as it is unhindered, it will flow freely. It won't be hampered or made stagnant by traditions or symbolisms or distractions. Remember, they were saying how they poured things in the well, or they put pollution in the well And in the actual wells today, they have found things like furniture and old chairs and vases and old clothes and just a lot of things people have just thrown down in there, indicating the kind of pollution that would often hinder the flow of the Holy Spirit in our source, which is the church, and how it has to be unhindered and how we have to overcome it. And each generation has a place, and we go from that place to the next place. So as one generation starts to upheave that pollution in those wells, then the next generation will come and continue, build upon it. It says the redigging of the wells, it says, looks like Revelation, or we're looking at Revelation 1:18. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So in this season, God is increasing our ability to behold his vastness. Just in the digging of the well, that's what it does, that work, that laboring, that anticipation of getting to that water source, that digging, that building, shoring up the sides of the walls, going down. He's revealing to us just how great and powerful he is, so we can begin to see and believe what seems to be impossible. Because the more we labor for him and that source of life, the more we will understand and get an understanding. He says, as you increase in your knowledge and your wisdom of God, the abundance will come in your life. And this is Isaiah 46:3, expressed the idea that God saw all of history before it ever happened. He was already there. He's that big. Hebrews 13:8 says, Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is, he was, and he is to come. Remember, we were in the names of Christ this year, the names of God, and that was one of the names of God. God, Rahu, Jehovah, Raul, I believe. He says, I want to bring out these three different aspects of how Jesus reveals his truth to the church through a process. He calls it redigging the wells of the Father. It is a key to seeing the kingdom come in fullness. What exactly does redigging mean? And so that's when the author goes into his explanation. And he starts in Genesis 26:15. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the day of Abraham, his father, and they would fill them with earth. These were Abraham's wells, and Isaac was going to redig the wells of his father. All right. The church must remember to honor our spiritual fathers, Christians from the past, who have broken through and come to this flow of the Holy Spirit, this power of the anointing. Remember they had said that once was the breakthrough of the Spirit, and then it was the breakthrough of the Word in these great waves of revival in the land, and each one builds upon the other. We have the advantage of these breakthroughs. They have already broken spiritual ground with certain truths that have not previously been released. And as these truths were released and these waves of revival that came over the land, it uprooted some lies, some of the just traditions, some of the rhetoric, the things that were just words, the things that some people preached, and it was a form of the truth, but it was not the full truth. And it eliminated some things. And so the movement of the word brought the whole scroll before the people, the whole scroll, and revealed it to the people for them to understand. They had to embrace the whole scroll, not just a piece of it here or a piece of it there, or just the old or just the new, but all of the scrolls. And now we can hold on to the revelations that the Lord gave them and build upon it. And so as we do the whole scroll, then came the wave of the Holy Spirit, the move of the presence of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit being more than just a thing that was an emotional expression of a moment with Christ, but just or God. But more than that, it was a ministry. And I thank God, because when he lets us see how this 10 years ago, it's probably more now, where we were at a vision gathering. And here again, a vision of the future, a vision of the future, preparing for the to come in the now. And that's when actually Elder Arlette started, and we were at a table, and the words that she was given to some of the people that were coming through, that were some were Christians, some were not, but what she said was enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it's like that was the seed that God was planting in all of our hearts. How many times have you expressed that? And every time we express it, we were a prayer. That's a prayer. That is a prayer, and it is a intercessor for those who may not know. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit, giving them a glimpse, giving them a part of the spiritual background that was being, or foundation that was being raised up for a time such as this. We must remember now that we are in the time of restoration. I saw that and I said, what is the December promise for this year, this month? The December prayer and declaration. And it is for restoration. It is for reclaiming. Apostle KP shared with us about what the canker worm and the pomegranate worm and the caterpillar, and how they were different phases of our spiritual growth and development, and how there were certain stages that weren't completed and that were stole from us. Or I love one commentator says, "Oh, we sold it. We sold it for something that was a word from someone and not from the Lord God Almighty." And so he says these secret things that belong to God, the scripture says, but now they're revealed and now they belong to us. And so now we have these truths and they will be in our children forever, and we must believe that promise. And so we see the generations. I know I see the generations in my family, six of them, and they're all saved, and they were all built upon the prayers and the promises of my fathers and or my ancestors, my father and my mother. Praise the Lord. And so we thank God for that, and we have to remember that we are doing this, as the apostle often says, for a generation yet to come. He says you live and you prepare your ministry for 2022nd century, I think. It was in the 21st century, right. So for 2022nd, you know, one of the words for 2020 is that we're doing this for a decade, what's to come in 2030, not just for tomorrow or for next year or for that year after that. And so it is looking and preparing and walking in the power that will bring about what God knows is coming, because he already knows the whole story. He knows history from beginning to end, and he is already there. And so he is drawing us through the Holy Spirit to bring us to a place that we can understand, first of all, the vastness of his plan, and then the honor that we've been called to ask to be a part of it. It says any past kingdom breakthrough should also be our breakthrough. He said the wells of people like Catherine Coleman, Smith Wiggleworm, and Wigglesworth, and others are beginning to bubble up again. That's that Nabi. That's that bubbling up of the prophecy and the word of God to his people, so that they would be empowered to the fullness of, you know who? The Holy Spirit, to the sevenfold Spirit of the Holy Spirit. It says, you know, any nugget of truth that was revealed in the past should be enjoyed by us today and our children through all generations. So we have to take those nuggets of truth and we have to communicate them. We have to share them, and we have to live in application of them so that they come alive. They come alive in the eyes and the understanding of those around us, the generations to come. And then they will start from that point because they won't know anything else. They'll only see the value and the harvest of a life that's embraced the truths of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And by this, he will restore all things to the church, as in Acts 23:21, where he said, and every time there is a restoration, we can walk in it. Past breakthroughs as well as current breakthroughs are for today. So we don't just do it, it was good yet last year, and now we want a new thing. No, it was good last year. It has developed, and now we have a new thing. And as we walk in that newness, it will bring us to another new thing, because that's the way God draws us. We believe that this generation will walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Fullness makes the impossible possible for every believer, not just for those specially anointed people who can pray and part the Red Sea. Everybody, all believers. And Christ said, you're going to do what I do and more. He's talking to us all. And this is how that more happens, through the release of the power of the Holy Spirit without measure upon us, because we are in Christ Jesus. And we have embraced his truth to its fullness. We believe, so when we honor our fathers, our spiritual fathers, and benefit from their revelation, often apostle says, her ceiling becomes our floor. And it seemed like, oh, that's such an eloquent way of putting things. But that is a powerful biblical principle. It is a biblical principle that when we hear it, we have to stand on it, because God has declared it. That's how he said it is going to be. He says, I'm going to honor the ministry. Isaac said, I'm going to honor Abraham, and I'm going to take back his wealth from the Philistines, which represents Satan, what he has filled with dirt, and that's earth, and worldly things, things of man. He said he's gonna take it back, and the enemy uses the things of man, man's own understanding, man's philosophies, you know, vain precepts, vain and not true precepts. He said he's going to unplug them with the truth of the word of God. That's what that is. The enemy uses man to plug the wells. The devil can't plug them. We plug them because we allow the enemy to use us to bring into the church, into the hearts of men through our raggedy living, you know, through the things that we do that, you know, well, God knows how I am. No, he also knows that he sent your son, so you don't have to be that way anymore. And when the world sees that, that will unplug that thing of, you know, I am what I am, you know, and I can't change. That's a lie of the enemy. Those are things that the enemy used to plug to hinder the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that we will understand and we will know that we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. It's in him. It is in him that our power lies, and it's in him that we must lie. We must always find ourselves in him, and we're in him when we're in his word, because he said, I am the word, I am the truth, and I am your life. I am life. It's not without me. He is that source of water. He is that well. We have polluted his well with our raggedy representation of who he is. And he's saying, no more. Not going to have that anymore. You don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about doing that no more, because he says the Holy Spirit has come, and he's going to lead you into all truth. So we are going to follow the Holy Spirit, because he has sealed us to perfect us, so that he can present us faultless and without spot or blemish. And a lot of people don't believe that. They don't believe that they can be holy. But God said we can, so we can. They don't believe it's easy, but Jesus said it is. He said, my burden is easy, and my yoke is light. Believe that, because it is. Don't say yes, but. There's no but. Because Holy Spirit will show us the supernatural. The supernatural will become natural for us. And no longer will we live limiting the power of God in our life. I've just been talking and talking. But everybody, you've read it. It says Jacob, I'm sorry, not Jacob, but it says the tradition of men and religion put different names on the wells of the revivals of the past, which just plug them up and make them useless. It says Isaac redug the wells that the enemy had covered up, got them flowing again, and restated their original name. But he didn't stop there. He dug three new wells. And so that's that importance of allowing that name, Abraham's wells, to remain on those wells because they had the power of the promise that was given to Abraham. And then Jacob, the well, and then Isaac. All of these, the names of the wells themselves, the original name of God that is going to be important and powerful in our life is the original name of God that we are claiming. We're not just claiming, but we are, the Holy Spirit is manifesting through our life and through our understanding. And so, and remember, we're looking at this because of the sevenfold spirit of the Holy Spirit. And we get to that with that scripture from Isaiah 11 and 2. The Spirit shall rest upon him. The Spirit, and we can say upon them, because it's on Christ, it's on us, because we're in Christ. And his robe of righteousness is on us. And he gave that authority to us. And when he said, I send you out now. So it says the spirit of wisdom and understanding. And I never remember the spirit of counsel and might. And that spirit of counsel is so important because it is the counsel of heaven, the divine counsel. Counsel means the advice of. It means the collaboration of. There's a council of heaven that we have to have that spirit upon us when we go about God's work. And that council brings might with its strength and power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Understanding that the most powerful thing in the world, the most powerful thing in the world is us understanding how to fear God, because when we do, we fear in reverence, and that reverence fear will build up a heart of love that can never be shaken. It can never be ripped from its presence because of that fear of the Lord. And then that spirit of the Lord being upon us, the spirit of the Lord being upon us, that's the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. The power of it, because we're under him, we're in him, and that's where our power lies. So we're going to stop right here on the stirring up hunger, because we don't want to go too far, and see what you have gleaned from the reading and the study in this wells of the seventh. And again, we had talked about the number seven, the ministry of numbers in the Bible, and God's purpose and how he uses them. And how they're important. They're important. So when you see a number, stop and do a little research. What does that mean? What is God trying to communicate to me? Because he said seven, or because it is the sevenfold. Or count the items, like when you count the items in the anointing of the sevenfold spirit of God, and you see the things as they are listed. And there are seven, because that does bring us to a place of completion. Completion meaning not we're perfect, but now we have the complete strategy. There's nothing missing, and in using it all, it shall bring about the results that heaven wants. So the lines are open. You're open to share, comment, questions, insights, revelations, concerns. Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Elvis.
I was just going to say that I've been reading this. It's well, that I have to keep reading over and over because it kind of go over my head.
But
when you were talking about the whales, I remember we had a whale. My great-grandmother had a whale in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we had to go get water from the well and
mm-hmm.
bring it to the house. And
mm-hmm.
the well is very deep, and you had to let down the bucket into the well
yeah.
and to draw up the water. And that water, there's nothing like it. That water tastes so good. It's
yeah.
nothing
yeah.
like it today, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
I was thinking when they were talking about him rebuilding the wells and you were going
mm-hmm.
through it, that's a lot of work because those wells are so deep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And to have to, you know, rebuild them, like you were saying, took a lot of work. And that's amazing
yeah.
how God gave them the wisdom and the
mm-hmm.
knowledge to be able to do that without all of, like we see today, you know, all of these
mm-hmm.
instruments and these
yeah,
people
yeah,
were
yeah.
doing with their hands. I mean, I can't even imagine,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
with their hands and probably with sticks or, you know, wood
mm-hmm.
from the trees
yeah.
or stones. I mean, that was
mm-hmm.
Very strenuous, and that just let us know, you know, how God just gives people the wisdom to know how to do things, and
yeah,
and even today, in looking at the virus. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's going to take God to give man the wisdom to
yeah.
Come up with an antidote for it, you know. And it's just amazing how he does things, how he
Amen.
Can
Amen.
Speak to man's mind and they can
mm-hmm.
go forth and do things. So,
Amen.
That's what I want to
do.
And that's it. Excuse me, what you have shared, that is the picture of the church and the value of God, Jesus Christ, the living water, deep calling unto the deep. You had to put that bucket down far. It has to go down deep. The deep was calling to you in order to get me, to bring me up, bubble up, spring forth, that knobby. This is just amazing. The work, it's not going to be easy, but they're, like you say, what motivated them? What was that passion that motivated them to dig and dig and dig and sacrifice? So anybody else, that is a wonderful, wonderful illustration of the way we as a church are to be. Absolutely. And then I love it because you said you bring the water up, then you take it to the house. You know, so in other words, you take it and then you share it. You know, it's wonderful. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay. The other elder. Yeah. Amen. Elder.
Yeah, Addison, good morning. I was just going to say there were a couple things. This is a little bit back before where you were, but it's quoted Deuteronomy
mm-hmm.
29:29. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things
yes.
which are revealed belong to
yeah,
us and our children
yeah.
ever."
Yeah.
That, you know, when he reveals something to us, it's not, you know, nobody has their little private interpretation or their private revelation. This is revealed to us forever and our children. I thought that kind of jumped out at me. Then there's another thing he says, that the fullness of these seven wells, the vastness of God, makes the impossible possible for every believer.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just awesome the way he said that. And there was one other thing. I'm looking. I got this electronic book,
mm-hmm.
which is trying to figure out where my note is in here. When he talks about redigging the well, I thought that was awesome because, like you said, there was the movement of the spirit and there was the movement of the word. And you think of the charismatic movement,
yeah.
maybe back in the 70s,
yeah.
I think is when they talk about in California, just, you know, where there was just a Pentecostal explosion like people had never seen.
Yeah.
And then you kind of get this quasi-word of faith movement, you know, where people were really digging into the word in a different kind of way when previously
yeah.
had been a pastor or a teacher teaching the people. But there was a whole
yeah.
model shift of churches where, you know, the whole congregation was trying to get into small groups and cell groups, and they were teaching more than a preaching that folks had been
mm-hmm.
familiar with. You know, I mean, not that they weren't teaching before, but you understand what I mean, just the style
yes,
and the way it was moving. That when, to me, that reminded me of when it says Isaac redug three wells
mm.
of his father, and then he dug
mm-hmm.
three new wells, which kind of showed me one wasn't really greater than the other. You know, still each
what?
One had the three. And, I mean, it
yeah.
was a greater revelation, but to me it was like it was still
yeah.
that revelation that had been given
yeah.
back in, way in the past. But now,
mm-hmm.
with the manifestation of the Spirit in a different way and an understanding of the Word and a release of the Word, a freedom in the Word in a different way, it allowed him to dig three more wells. And to me, that's kind of how we are, that we go from glory to glory to glory. That
yes, yes.
These seven spirits of God allows us to continue in the revelation, because if
mm.
it's ours forever, he's not going to keep revealing the same thing, because once it's revealed.
Right.
You know, that would be redundant. So obviously there is going to be some... in the prior chapter where it talks about we're going to have fresh oil dripping from our fingers. I can't talk this morning.
Yeah.
When we were talking about the lampstand, and
yeah.
he mentioned, do you wake up with fresh oil? Dripping from, like, no,
yeah.
not really. Yeah. So, but, you know, all of that, just in going together,
yeah.
that the Lord has made it possible if we would only incline our ear, I guess, and open our eyes and see what he is doing. And the fact that it's talking about injustice, because I think, to me, now this is just
mm-hmm.
my own theology, but the whole idea of we're in a state
right.
where there is so much injustice. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
I really believe if we stand on God's word as the people of God, there are a lot of things
mm-hmm.
that can be addressed, and we don't have to be afraid of, oh, you know, we're in the world but not of the world, so maybe we shouldn't be doing this. I think we should be doing everything. We should be so saturated in everything that's happening, you know, for God, for the good, you
yeah.
know, and that when you have somebody, you know, I'm so excited that Reverend Warnock, I've had an opportunity to meet him and hear him in intimate areas in Georgia, is running for state legislator. You know, I mean, senators, because you need people who know who God is in
yeah.
the government. You know, that is one of the mountains.
Yeah.
We can't make an
mm-hmm.
impact if people won't trust
mm-hmm.
God to still be men and women of God in those places. You know, not go with the corruption. You know, sometimes it just comes and even gets in a position. So, it's, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's exciting to me when we start to see clerics and laity who know who God is and who aren't afraid to say,
right.
you know, we
yeah.
got here because, you know, God, you know, we've been having prayer. You know, some of the people
mm-hmm.
you hear their testimonies about that, you know, because everybody else has no problem in saying they're against God. Nobody fights against that.
Or,
in fact, people will fight
mm-hmm.
against you being able to say what your belief is, you know, in the whole thing of free speech. They can say anything about what you say. and then you say something mm-hmm. about God, and you know, then it's just a real crazy kind
of
thing. But I think that the having a revelation and understanding of those sevenfold spirit, the sevenfold spirit, and like you said, counsel and might and wisdom, you need all of that. It's not being prosperous or being smart or being educated. You need, you know, mental and visual power from on high to be able to have the foresight to see what they're trying to do, to, you know, trip things up, to, you know, file things up in the future. And it takes men and women of God. So, you know, that seventh, that mountain of government is so important, because we think about us in the Western world, but, you know, we're just a little blip on the map when you think about the entire world, how many people there are, you know. So to, and we had a taste of that in the Saturday thing, you know, to see the folks in India, to see the folks in Africa, that they're loving God too. And, you know, I believe that, you know, you don't necessarily have to be there physically, you know, but we can pray and ask God to move on their behalf, just like I believe they're asking God to move on our behalf, you know, and see something, you know, see the manifestation, if you will.
Amen. Amen. Excellent insight. Acknowledging the different aspects of the lesson, and just the points that pop out at you, and just, if you're, they just go right to your heart. They do, and get you excited. Mm-hmm. I know when you were speaking, even about the moves. And again, I am excited about the ministry, because God establishes it, and every time He makes that known, it's just a time for praise and worship, because we have, you know, reconstruction ministry. You know, we have the grace teaching ministry. So there are all those functions and those concerns that God has today that have been established by God through the 20-something years of the ministry, because He knew what was going to be needed now. He knew what was going to be necessary now, and He put us in place. He is a God of yesterday, today, and forever. And so He knows what's going to be necessary then, and now He is bringing that understanding into our hearts now for the next thing that's happened. And somebody said that when we pastor do a retreat, 3 months before the retreat, she's at the next year retreat. And it is, you got to go. You know, that's how God, He is fluid. You know, and He can't wait. He doesn't have to wait for us to catch up, because what He does is prepares us to be up to the task. And that's how He brings it through that Nabi, through that prophecy, and through that apostolic establishing the government of God's people in the place that He has ordained them to walk in, into that a particular destiny with a specific assignment. Anybody else? Just, you know, I can go on and on and on. But anybody, I just wanted to say
thank you to Elder, because I was going to comment on those very things that she said, but she just brought it out so eloquently, better than I was did. But I
don't know. You know, everybody, because, you know, I think the Lord deals with us differently, but we all have a part to play. And I wanted to say one thing. I know you hadn't said this, and I may be going before, but on that next page, at least the next page on my tablet, it talks about the Lord is raising up a Samuel generation. It references Samuel, 1 Samuel 3:18, and it says the weight of our words will carry great power, because we're under this open heaven. And that was so awesome, that the weight of our words will carry great power as we move in this realm. God is raising up a Samuel generation with weighty words that will not fall to the ground. Their words will never return void as they operate in the realm of open heavens or fullness. So even that whole idea, because I wasn't really familiar. I mean, I've heard it the last couple of years, an open heaven, we're under an open heaven, but I hadn't heard that just in general as church speak, if you will. But, you know, when he says, when we operate in this realm of open heavens or fullness, meaning fullness, like these seven spirits, the seven spirits that he's talking about, would be the fullness, so that we should be able, if our words carry that weight and we are speaking words of life and exhortation, then all of those things, to the extent that they fall into whatever we're speaking about, should fall under that might and counsel and wisdom and, you know, understanding, all of those things. And when we're speaking like that, because we understand creative power is in the tongue, we speak those things, you know, that, so when we start really speaking right, speaking like God, you know, speaking his word, and then when we are not speaking his literal word, like scripture, praying scripture back to him, when the words that we have are true and righteous, then, you know, it's saying that there is nothing that we can't do and can't have, because we're operating, you know, in line with his, our words are in line with what his word and his will is for. So that's pretty exciting, you know, just to know that, you know, and that he loves me until I get it right, you know. So certainly don't mean I'm saying everything I need to say, but just even the revelation of be mindful. Like, don't say that. Like you were telling me when I was saying something really crazy about some family members. And you're like, don't call them that. You know, I'm like, yeah, okay. And even in jest, but, you know, if you call them that all the time, it is in the atmosphere. You know.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
Women of virtue, mighty men of valor and women of virtue, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. I wanted to, because we need to look at the history of Samuel, and we need to look at that history so we can understand what a Samuel generation is going to look like. And so
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump.
Little,
I wasn't sure if you said it, you
know,
because it was the next page. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump over there.
But no, it's okay, because, you know, now we have what to look for. You know, it's so much excitement in this chapter. And, we want to, what do they say? You know, when you had a good meal, you really just want to marinate in it and you want to let it saturate and go to all the places that it needs to go in. But, yes, you get there and it's like, oh, but that's good. Yes, it is. It is, and it's powerful. And we need to have an understanding of Samuel. I know when I read Elijah, it's like, okay, what is the Elijah generation? What is that move like? You know, and so when you study these characters, then you get an understanding of what he is creating in you. Anybody else, this is wonderful stuff. No, ever.
I was going to say,
okay,
when he was talking about the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and I'm always asking the Lord for the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and he was bringing that out, and how he said that makes the impossible possible for every believer. And then he was talking about when you're thinking about God's past things that he did, that creates a hunger for that causes us to begin to be hungry and dissatisfied with our present situation. And then, you know, we begin to cry out to him in prayer, which starts the redigging of the wells. So that the way he, you know, bring things out, you know, you would never think of it, at least I wouldn't, in that manner, you know. So I thought of that.
Absolutely.
And then when he mentioned about the enemy uses men to plug the wells.
I think
Elder hit on that, how, you know, sometimes they'll say, oh, it don't take all of that. You know, and you can remember, excuse me, how, you know, things were done and how people were delivered and said for stuff, and then they come along and say, oh, it doesn't take all of that. And, you know, we don't do that anymore. And, you know, from which, you know, it brought you and helped make you who you are today. But then, you know, men will say, well, do away with that, you know, so that gets plugged up. And things look different, you know. And the movement or the churches, if I could say it like that, and the people getting what they need.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Over here.
Yes.
I just want to say when Elder Roberta was just speaking, when you said, like, in my head, what I was hearing, like, the way the people worshipped in the past, and that's what I thought about when he said redug, that you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Things people did that were significant. You know, we wouldn't be here, even though we may think some things were dated and foggyism and, you know, we don't like that kind of worship, and now we're trending and we need lights and different things and whatever it is, just the difference, you know, as ages evolve. And to me, when I saw that he redug, meant that he went back and opened up those things that were of value, you know, to them as worshipers, you know, release those things, that it takes all of that. It takes from what the foundation was laid from the fathers, and, you know, which kind of gives you that spiritual authorization, that Trinity kind of thing, the three wells, and the new thing that God is doing, you know, kind of like Old Testament, New Testament, like forefathers, you know, future generations, you know, the whole, you know, however you want to make the metaphor for that. But I that was the thing that jumped out at me, just like what Elder just said, that the old way, you know, there is credence in that. You know, you don't throw those things away. You build upon, you know, you build upon those things, as just like the Old Testament builds upon the New Testament. Well, you know, looks forward to Christ, but, you know, we don't throw out the things that they did. You know, they just move forward, and we get the revelation of that maturation as we go forward. And we see him move in just different kinds of ways, you know, here. Mm-hmm. You know, he might not be showing up new camels and cattle and stuff like that, because we're not operating like that. So, you know, it may be mortgages and things and miracles and health and sicknesses that they never even knew of back then, but it's still the manifestation of the Holy Spirit wherever we are, in a way that blesses the people of God. So that, you know, that redug to me really jumped out, like, you know, don't get ahead of yourself and think you got everything moving forward. Everything is just new, you know, future. It's like, you know, it's all of it. You know, it's the whole of the matter.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Perfect. Anybody else?
Yes, I just had to, it just brings me back again to India. And all these lessons tie up to everything from what Prophet Michael and Apostle and everybody teach. But when you was talking about the Navi and the bubbling up and the springing forth, and when we was in India, when the they was building, I mean, was make, you know, digging for the well, you know, and but, and they did it all, I mean, they took shifts and they did it all night long and whatever, but in the end, when you saw that water bubbling up and springing forth, and you could just, you know, that experience to see that, and see everybody from Hindu to everybody to come together and worship and praise, and it just when you see the Bible lived out, you see that, it just it do something to you. And then you don't take for granted when we have water and what we do with the water we have, and how that water speaks to life and nourishment and strength and health. So I just got excited about when I'm reading this, but then you see the enemy be upset, you know, because often someone blesses you, bring about envying another, you know. So they was in, they was not excited about what God was doing. So I'm just, I just love that bubbling up and springing forth and how you brought what Prophet Michael taught from that.
Thank you.
In that name of God.
Because just that visual, you sharing, you know, just the joy of the people. And I remember y'all sent pictures and how everybody had gathered. When they see that first bubbling of water and they know we've hit it, we've reached our lifeline of water, it changed everything. Like she said, it changed their health. It changed everything. And there's such a joy in those people when you see it that should be in us when that truth bubbles up and reaches us and it changes everything. Amen.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
And overseas, that's just one more part of that, because when you said that, I thought about when they put the clothes out in the dirty, muddy water that was like brown, brown, dark, dark, and they washed their clothes in that dirty water. Imagine when they got new water, they was able to change the way they washed their clothes and they weren't dirty anymore. You know what I mean?
That's how we are. We able to change our dirty clothes. Jesus,
Revelation and truth.
Yes, absolutely. Anybody else? Wonderful. Fellowship of Learners. Amen.
You know, I was trying to think of this song. I don't know why I can't think of this song, but I had sent it to you, Minister Paulette, and it came to my mind when the young lady, it's a worship, praise and worship song, and she says, you know, the words are repeated over and over to the Lord in the song, give him praise. And she said, you know, God doesn't get tired. You know, we get tired, but God doesn't get tired because his angels kneel before him every day crying, holy, holy, holy. He doesn't get tired. You know, we're the ones that get tired. And so I don't know why that came to my mind. It was something I was looking at in this book. But it's like when you're talking about we digging the wells and getting before and prayer and the hunger, him stirring the hunger in us, you know, to redig, and then the water of refreshing, he said, because the wells are beginning to bubble now. And ones who begin to think of that living water will become ones who don't hold it for themselves. So, you know, we don't hold that to ourselves. We share it with others. You know, we begin to pour over and pour into others.
Wonderful, wonderful. Anybody else? Okay. Well, we thank God for your presence and for your participation, you know, and for your spirit of worship and coming hungry to hear what God is saying to us through the sevenfold spirit of Holy Spirit. We are so grateful for the author to pen this book, for all of the authors to pen all of the books. And we encourage you, as the author did in this book, to allow the writings to come through you, the books that you know you are supposed to be writing as well, because they are such a joy to the spirit of those who will come and read them. And so that which you have, not just in writing, but in dance and song, in ministry and teaching and exhortation, in help, in healing and touching and exhortation, whatever the ministry anointing that's on you in your life and upon your life, release it. Release it to the people
So not just the body of Christ will be edified, but the world will see and God will be glorified, because that is our purpose. So enjoy, obey, abide in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy your worship.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And remember,
amen.
Let us remember Christ, our Savior, and the preparation that was necessary for him to come on earth. And at this time, let us remember his journey to earth and the whole heart that brought him there. Let it be the heart that is developed in us to reach out to help of dying people, because this world is dying in confusion, in lies. They're just being swallowed up with hate, in hate and in contempt and in injustices, ill dimensions, and it is just rampant. But we can stop it. We can stop it in its tracks by not participating in any form of it, but more than that, allowing Holy Spirit to release the love of God through us. The love of God. So praise the Lord. Thank you. And we will finish this chapter and go into the next chapter on next week. So be blessed.
Be blessed.
Be blessed.
Be blessed.
Be blessed. Amen. Amen. Hold on. Oh, let me hang up. Mm-hmm.